Amtrak's California Zephyr travels nearly 2,500 miles between Chicago and the San Francisco Bay. And right in the middle of that route is Colorado. CPR's Dina Sieg rode the train all the way across the state and back, and we get to go along.
Ostensibly, I'm doing this because Amtrak is in the news. Ridership plunged last year because of the pandemic, and long-haul routes were cut to 3 days a week. But now, Amtrak is phasing daily service back in across the country. So that's the news hook. But also, I just love riding the train. The plan is to take the California Zephyr from here, Grand Junction, the farthest western stop in the state, to the farthest east, Fort Morgan, beyond Denver.
Yeah, round the corner up the stairs and put your tag up over your seat, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. I put down my stuff at my seat and immediately head to the viewing car. That's the most popular part of the train by a mile. Everyone's in masks, but I can tell that Jessica Tyson is smiling as she hears an announcement from the snack bar.
Wine! I can buy wine now.
She just spent her 21st birthday in Utah with her dad and is now returning home to Denver. It would have been faster by car, but that doesn't matter.
So I was like, I really want to take the train. I haven't been on the train since I was 7.
That's when Tyson's grandmother took her on this train to Glenwood Springs. She did that with each of her grandkids, all 30 of them. Her grandma loved trains.
When I'm on the train, it's like, she's watching me.
We continue east, a conveyor belt of sun-baked high desert floating past.
Our next scheduled stop, Glenwood Springs, is coming up next.
A small-town station as cute as a button, mountains nearly hugging it, a hot springs pool beckoning nearby. Then into Glenwood Canyon, its lofty cliffs looming over the Colorado River actually inspired the first viewing cars on this route. We diverge from the highway and head into more canyons, far from any town.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
Vicki Breton is knitting and looking at craggy walls hundreds of feet high.
It looks like a cathedral at the top of a mountain, just beautiful stone formations.
She tells me that when she's in a place she does not want to forget, she says a prayer in her head.
Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones.
Breton hopes that when she returns home to Oakland and recites this again, it will transport her right back here. For now, she's headed to New Orleans.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
A few tables away, conductor Chris Lopez has set up shop. He's waiting for passengers to give him answers to a word problem he announced over the loudspeaker. Everyone gets 3 tries. Carla Baker from Kentucky is on her last one.
Survey says...
PM.
Yay! Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
She gets a cardboard conductor hat she says her grandson will love. There's no Wi-Fi on the train, and for long stretches, no cell service either. Conductor Chris says that's where these contests come in.
I try to provide a situation where they can participate in the non-cyber world because they can't Google anybody. They can't research the information.
He wants to keep folks occupied, but also open them up.
As you've noticed when I talk to people, it's not about the destination. It is about the journey. So we're just trying to find a way to maximize people's experience on this journey.
And a journey by train is like nothing else.
Obviously, you see these, like, grand sights.
We're in the mountains now, and Tessa Herron can see dramatic, snow-capped peaks off in the distance. But she's also into the train's more ordinary views. The intimate window it gives her into communities along the tracks.
People's houses, like backyards, just kind of little bars, little towns, little junkyards, graffiti.
Herron has been traveling by train for months, working remotely and stopping in various places as she slowly heads home to Iowa. She's gone from being someone who did not really take trains to being a train person.
It's a special subculture, I think.
A subculture of train devotees that includes passengers and crew. A train attendant, Tim Noel, traveled across Colorado as a kid on what was then known as the Rio Grande Zephyr.
And I remember telling my folks, oh, I'd scrub all the toilets on this train if they just let me work out here. Well, be careful what you ask for, because that's what I do.
It's one of the less glamorous aspects of his job, which keeps him on the train for 6 days straight. But Newell says he gives thanks every morning.
Mark Twain said, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life. I've been here almost 28 years, haven't worked a day yet.
We descend from the mountains, making it to Denver's Union Station by the evening. A crowd of people gets off and on. About 80 miles of flat land later, we arrive in the small town of Fort Morgan, more than 10 hours after leaving Grand Junction. At 5-something the next morning, I get back on. The same stunning trip in reverse. City, mountains, desert. As we travel along the Colorado River, we're treated to an unofficial California Zephyr tradition, being mooned by boaters. The train is a pause between the notes, one of the few spaces where you get hours free of obligation, time to just be. I'm delighting in it. So is Maggie Tracy.
Like, I brought books along, I brought work along, and haven't done any of it. All I do is sit and look out the window.
Tracy and her husband are headed home to Nevada after vacationing across remote spots in the West. They're both in their 70s, and this was their first ever overnight train experience.
Yeah, I'm sold on it.
Soon they've invited me to stay at their place sometime, and I've invited them to stay at mine. All around us, similar conversations are happening, people sharing stories and laughs and email addresses.
Thank you for your patience. Thanks for choosing Amtrak. Here we go, Grand Junction.
We're about an hour late, but no one seems worried. That is not what taking the train is all about. From the viewing car of the California Zephyr, I'm Stina Sieg, CPR News.